and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
One of my favorite things that I get to do each Sunday when we come together is see the team of folks from various areas of the ministry that we have that you know could be doing 1,000 other things, even on cold winter days, staying in bed, because that pocket of warmth that you get on the like single digit days in your bed is something that is absolutely magic, maybe even a spiritual experience for some of us, right? And so to get out of there is a really hard thing. But one of my kind of favorite things is to talk then to some of our most generous people that come early because their parents bring them and they have no say in it, right? And so we have a number of kids that come that way, even mine, either at my wife's church or here. Man, some days are a struggle just getting out of the house, but we have to, okay, all right, there we go. But there are some times where we just have to do it. And so to ask them to kind of, for lack of a better word, like suck it up because we've got to go work is something special. But one of the things that I love to do then with one of our most gracious and generous young people is that he and I have conversations each week about his snack and sometimes the snack that I bring. And so oftentimes Elliot will not, he'll say, Pastor Chris, what'd you bring today? I said, well, I got a little bit of this, a little bit of this. You got bread and juice today? I said, well, man, you know, today I got to say, yeah, man, we got the bread and juice. All right, good. I would like to share it with you. Okay, yes, sir. That's why we're here. And so then my follow-up has been, so are you going to share your snack with me? He goes, this is my snack. I said, right. Well, this is the stuff I brought. This is the stuff you brought. But we're going to share, right? Because he told me that it's good to share with friends. So I said, well, okay, well, but can we share? And he looks at me. And he looks at me with eyes that said, oh, you're trying to do something, old guy, and I don't know what, but I don't like it. And so a few months back, we kind of had this interaction. I said, well, will you share yours with me? And he said this, and it was beautiful and wonderful. And the most thoughtful response that Elliot has, and you know there's no ill will behind it, but I felt like he got me in checkmate immediately. He goes, well, Pastor Chris, I might share my snack with you. Let me think about it, and I'll let you know after church. Right? And so he comes back then after worship. He comes back and he goes, I ate all my snack, but next week I'll get it, right? And I just imagine him back in the nursery with our fantastic nursery staff, like making charts and like plotting out like the cost benefit of sharing snack with Pastor Chris and maybe not. And I'm sure that then the bottom line came out and he's like, yeah, oh no, there's nothing left. Next week though, right? And the following week, man, he did. He shared a veggie straw with me. And it was a magical experience, right? And it was beautiful. And that's kind of, you know, but how many times are we in a place where we go, yeah, I'll share my stuff, but next week. And so as we continue on with this series that we're calling Stay Positive, you know, we've gone through some of the I'll be optimistic, I'll be you know, grateful, I'll be somebody who is an encourager. And last week we talked about how encouragement then empowers us to step in and take that next step into our God-sized future. And so this week is all about generosity for a couple of reasons, including, and maybe most important, what we'll celebrate at the end of worship today. But there was this language that I heard this week coming from Pastor Robert Morris, and he said this, that giving is the verb of the Bible. Which, if you let that sink in a little bit, that's kind of awesome, right? And we go back to that scripture, John 3:16, that we all know that maybe even today at the Super Bowl, somebody's going to be holding up a sign that says John 3:16, which in the Greek reads anyone but the Patriots. But for our translation, it says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that we might have then eternal life. And so you think about that, and you ask the question, so what is the subject of the Bible? It's God, and who is the object of the Bible? It's the world, it's us. But then what is that verb? And it's that God gave, right? That we have a God who is generous enough to give when there's no real precedent, no real need for a gracious God to give and extend God's self in that way. And so we see this throughout Scripture throughout Scripture in the totality of Scripture, but then when we talk about our communion table there, what we talk about is a God not only who is willing to give a little from a distance, but a God who is willing to take on flesh and blood and move into the neighborhood and show us what life is lived like, what kind of love and giving in that gracious way is lived like in a powerful way. That we have a God who is willing to give to the point of death and death on a cross so that we might then find wholeness, that we might find restoration and healing from those things that we have chosen. In our liturgy, we say that we kind of choose slavery to sin and death. And so choosing our way over God's way is a great definition of sin. Or even, when we choose to break shalom and to break not only just peace, but wholeness, that is a good definition of sin. That when we choose that way over God's way, that then there is only one way to find restoration. And it's because of this generous God that we are able to step into that. And then Robert Morris goes on to say, we are most like God when we give. We most reflect that image of God when we then are generous ourselves with our time, talents, gifts, and service. And so one of the things that we realize then is that we are called to be kind of a conduit of God's action in this world. And so if we kind of think about a pipeline, we have God over here, and we have those needs over here from people who are in need or need, whether it be like food, like we're bringing in for the food bank today, or just a little kind of hand up, or spiritual health or mental health or all of those things. So we have God and we have the need right here. And in between, we get to be participants in the way that God works, acts, and moves in this world today, which, again, is kind of baffling, right? Because God could kind of cut out the middle people, but then we have a lot less ownership over that, and we don't get to live into that image of God that we've each been created to be. And so God gives us the opportunity to be generous. And so God has all the supply, and here's the demand. And just like so many other things, sometimes it gets all boggled up in the distribution of what happens. And so when we have this opportunity then to be the people that God calls us to be a conduit and a flow through with those gifts and services and the financial resources that we can then bless others with, there is gift. And when we are generous, it's like this investment in lasting joy. And a joy that doesn't go away just because, the need is gone. But we get to kind of point and say, look, I helped with that. In the past week, we've seen those record temperatures kind of plummet down because of the polar vortex and everything else. And in particular, have you seen some of the pictures like from Chicago and things like the Chicago firefighters who were fighting fires, and it's still like, I can't imagine, like negative 30-something, and they're still fighting fires, and so they're all, like, frozen over. Have you seen those? Or my wife asked why the tracks on some of the public transit were on fire, which I hadn't seen before, but they have, like, systems of propane and things to heat up the tracks because of melted snow, and the tracks are getting so cold that they're actually constricting and creating gaps in the track. Like, I wouldn't have thought of that, right? But then again, I'm not an engineer. And so I just get paid to talk at you guys for a while. So, but there's something like that. And so there's then all this need that happens. And in this one particular community, homeless community in Chicago, a propane cylinder exploded and displaced then. Not only are these folks then without adequate housing, but now their heat source is gone and they are mandated to evacuate. And so knowing this, God's over here. There's this need that has been presented over here, and that we get to be the conduit. One woman took it upon herself to kind of act out in faith and generosity in a powerful way. And so I just want to play this little news clip, about 2 minutes or so, to show you what one act of generosity can start to spark in the way that we're called then to be generous and invest in lasting joy. Chad, could you play that for us, please? How cool is that? Of somebody just saying, you know, of Candace Payne saying, there's this need, and I feel this tug to be generous in a way that gets 20 hotel rooms for the night for these folks that are either going to sleep outside or have to go back and be charged with trespassing because their homes are kind of condemned. Isn't that neat? And then the way that that kind of generosity sparks generosity in other people. I've seen that time and time again, that when we are willing to be used by God and generous, that then that generosity is infectious and starts to see and open up the eyes of those around us in powerful ways, just because we're willing to kind of take that next step. God is willing to bless that. And the scripture that Jill read for us today is a beefy passage of scripture. But one of the things that we see is that, like, God provides for the one, or provides that seed for the farmer to plant. And so when we think about that, and that then in the same way that there is this increase in blessing, you know, when we talk about money at church, or oftentimes when we have that preconceived notion of the folks on TV, right, asking for, you know, I've got to get my fifth jet so that I can do God's work in ministry, and those prosperity gospels of you know, you got to name it and claim it, and if you do that, then God is going to bless you, and it's all going to be good, and all that stuff. I was at a training this week with you know, some colleagues, and we were talking about boundaries in particular, and we were talking about, like, gifts that you can and can't receive, and all that jazz. And one of my colleagues says, well, if I pray for it and I need it, I'm going to take it. I thought, oh my God, what is going on, right? Because, like, it was just this kind of astounding, like, it's a kind of slippery slope of well, need pretty quickly becomes a want, pretty quickly becomes a I really just have to have this, right? And so that prosperity gospel of name it and claim it and things like that, I don't ascribe to, right? Because there is just something about that that the theological term is feels slimy. But then also, we're not called to have this theology of scarcity either, of having this theology of poverty either, because God is a God of abundance. There is this theology of abundance and blessing that we have. And so maybe some of the way that we talk about it is that God is a God of a provision gospel, that God will provide and God will bless us, but not just bless us because we give, but because we are give with that right heart. So the scripture that Jill read for us, when it talks about that God will provide the seed and we plant in a way that brings about a bountiful harvest, is this idea that God blesses us when we give with the right heart. That when we aren't, I mean, what must have been happening in Corinth for Paul to write the fact that, let's see, verse 7 or so, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, okay? One of the things that we really try hard here is to go, you know, when we talk about financial giving and stewardship, we understand that financial stewardship is more of a heart issue than a dollar and cents issue. And so we don't want to look our noses and go, oh man, you know, baby Jesus cries when you don't give this much. But if you gave up here, man, you would get gold stars and you would build up so much pressure. Like, that's not what we're called to be. If we're called to be glad-hearted disciples, we are called to act out of this kind of provision gospel that we say, how much could God do if I am a faithful steward of these things? How much could God do, or how much transformation could happen in this world if I stop doing this or start doing this or change this one behavior and start then acting and taking that next step of faith in a way that says, I don't know what God's going to do, but I feel this tug in my heart that if I help provide a house or a home or a warm bed for this group of guys who have been displaced, I mean, did you see all the blessing that happened? And it turned out to be not just a home for a night, but then they provided meals. They provided, in addition, that wasn't on the video, but prenatal vitamins for moms who were pregnant. And for all of these different things, that we can become that community that we are called to when we start looking at it as a way of, we are taking this stewardship and faithfully then investing that in this kind of lasting joy when we are generous like God is generous. And so this kind of biblical call of the idea that we are to give, and the scripture talks about the biblical understanding of tithe, of giving 1%, right? It, or 1%, 10%, there we go, is to say, we want your first fruit. God wants the best of what you have. And if we're willing to invest the best of what we have, not like, I'll give you, God, I'll give you one sheep when I have my 10, but God, I'll give you one sheep when I have one sheep because I know that the more are coming. When we step out in faith like that, we get to see the way that God will take that faithful, glad-hearted giving and start to bless that in ways that we can't imagine. And, you know, I don't know that I would preach this so powerfully or I would be such a stickler for this, but one of the things is that the Bishop family, a little bit a glimpse of kind of where we are, is that we have committed to be a tithing family. And so we tithe to two churches. It works out that 10% over two churches is still 10%, even if it was one, right? It's the same number because that's the way percentages work. But when we started our adoption process, what we said was there was this pretty large adoption fee that when you go through, it's a big number. It's a fairly staggering number. It's even more staggering when you're about two-thirds of the way in and you fundraised all of that number, and then your adoption agency steals all that money and you'll never get it back. Like, that really kind of stinks, okay? Not that I'm bitter. But one of the commitments that we made was that we said that we're going to continue to be a tithing family, and we're not going to reduce our commitment to the churches that we believe that God is going to do powerful things in the midst of having to raise, now twice, this large sum of money. And God has acted and moved in powerful ways. And it's been in ways that it's not like an investment stock market plan, but it's ways that we would have never thought in God's timing that doing this and committing to making sure that we are financially giving to our church in a way that allows us to be proud of the gifts that we are giving and that we daily get to say, look, those are our people doing our, like transformation is happening. Because we are willing to step into that next, you know, into that faithful bound of where God has us be. And then it's crazy how the adoption side of things, the adoption funding stuff, has kind of worked out and is not too much of a stress because we're willing to give first fruits to God and everything else will work out. And it may not be as quickly as we would like, but we've seen the way that process has worked has been perfect in God's time. And so as we talk about that, as we talk about kind of our so what and what next, one of the most powerful statements of giving, one of my former parishioners said, give until it feels good. Because sometimes we give and it hurts, or we give and we're bitter about it. But if we give in a way that we are proud of that gift, regardless of if it is a large figure with a lot of zeros, or like Jesus preaches or shows with the widow, and she gives her last two copper mites, right? And says, it's not a big, but he says, this woman has given more than anyone else in the temple today because of her heart and because of the way that she trusts God, right? And so if we are willing to do that, give until it feels good, then there is something that changes in us. So if we go back to one of the most generous people in this church, Elliot. Okay? A few weeks ago, so we have our conversations back to back, and I said, well, man, you are so good at bringing snacks, and you're so good at bringing snacks for you. Do you think that one week that you could then bring the stuff that we put on the table? He goes, let me think about it. I'll tell you after church. Right? And so he thought about it back there, and he comes back and he goes, Pastor Chris, I think I can do it. I was like, all right, cool. And so the second or so week of January, he brought it, right? And he made this plan. He's like, I'm going to bring all the fruit, and I'm going to bring all the stuff, and I'm going to bring these things. And so he did it. And man, just watching him, so he sat back there, and he just stared at the table the whole time with this big smile on his face. And like every time somebody would get something, he, Pastor Chris, they liked it. Like there is this lasting joy that his generosity brought to him. And then the next week we had some left over and he's like, I know what's in those because I brought them last week. Do you remember that? Right? There is this lasting joy when we invest in that generosity that God calls us to, that goes beyond just our snack for the morning, but allows us to see the way that we are empowering transformation for the kingdom of God, that we get to be that conduit from God to the need that we see in this world. And every single day we have an opportunity to make that choice as a response to the gift that God has given us through the gift of Jesus, through the gift that we're going to celebrate in communion, right? And so as we think about this coming week, you know, one of the things that I will say to you is that maybe what you need to do in your next faithful step is to get your funding and finances right, to make a budget, to do the things that we need to do. And Ben had an amazing message last night at the online campus about the need for a budget and some tools for that. So if you have questions, ask Ben. Ben is a great resource. We also have a finance team and some other financial counselors that are great for getting your finances in line. But as you do that, think about ways that you can serve and invest your time and talents so that we can then become a community that's not waiting for someday to invest, but a community that is investing today in the transformation of our world so that we can be partners in that lasting joy that we bring about. And like I said, there's not a dollar figure associated with it, but it's really a how can we bring the best of what we have to God with a heart that is joyful to see transformation each and every day. And so